Scott Harreld is known for his interviews.
Boy, you're asking great questions. I think you're in the right career path, my friend. I really do.
Scott Harreld's SOS Radio podcast starts now.
There's a lot of cliches that we fall into in Christian culture, and I'm Scott Harreld on SOS Radio. We're talking with Jeff Myers today. He's the president of Summit Ministries, where they work and train thousands of Christians every year to really understand how faith impacts everyday life, to really talk about worldview. And if we have a Christ-centered worldview, Jeff, basically we have a relationship with him, but we want to put his kingdom in front of our own agendas. And a lot of times we fall into cliches because we hear things in culture about Christianity, but they don't always line up with how God reveals himself in the Bible.
You're exactly right, Scott. And I don't know if you enjoy the Babylon Bee satire site,
yes.
But their recent headline was, "Study shows that 92% of Christians get all of their theology from bumper stickers." sometimes it feels like it's a little close to the truth because we're listening to a pastor speak and, you know, he's digging into the theology and the Greek and the Hebrew. And, you know, we got a lot of things going on and trying to figure it all out. And then the pastor says, basically what it comes down to is this, and summarizes it in one sentence. And we all go, "Ooh, that's so good. I'm going to write that down." And all of a sudden, what the pastor intends to be an invitation to go deep and to think hard about our faith ends up becoming something that ironically makes it shallow because we just sort of stop there.
So you wrote a book called Unquestioned Answers that really goes through 10 of our typical Christian cliches, things like just have faith, or it's just me and Jesus, it's not my place to judge, love the sinner, hate the sin. And yeah, they sound like bumper stickers, and some of them are partially correct, but some of them are seriously flawed when you dig down to the nature of who Jesus is.
Well, I knew, Scott, when I was writing this book, Unquestioned Answers, that a lot of people would probably be frustrated. And I thought, well, welcome to the club. I was frustrated as I was writing it because I had to confront some of my own cliches. And again, like you pointed out, it's not that all of these are untrue. Some of them are theologically correct. But when we lead with them, we foreclose opportunities that we have to really dig in with people when they've got tough questions and really are looking for answers.
We're talking about rethinking some of the biggest Christian cliches with Jeff Myers today at SOS Radio. We're talking about some cliches like Jesus was a social justice warrior, or God said it, I believe it, that settles it, or it's not my place to judge. I want to start with that one because everybody says that. Oh, it's not my place to judge. However, there's some clear things that are outlined, and the Bible talks a lot about accountability too. It's like, there's a tension there.
You're exactly right. There's a big tension there. And a lot of times the tension comes from the fact that we don't want to be the mean people, right? We don't want to be the ones to say, hey, look, I know people who are judgmental and they're jerks, they're bullies, and they're no fun to be around them. So I don't want to be a person who easily finds fault with other people, but we do need to exercise good judgment. So in that chapter, they kind of dig into a little philosophy, a little sneaky philosophy there. But do you remember the parable of the elephant, that there were three blind men and they were feeling an elephant, and one felt the tail and said, well, an elephant is like a rope. Another one felt the leg and said, well, the elephant is like a tree. Another one felt the tusk and said, the elephant is like a spear. They all had a little bit of the truth, but none of them had it all. And so some people will say, well, see, what that shows is that we shouldn't judge because none of us really know the truth. But then at the same time, we realize, wait a second, how do you know that you don't know the truth? You are assuming that you know the whole elephant, right? So all of a sudden, people say things like, well, you know, that's your truth. Okay, well, are you telling me that that's my truth? Because are you telling me what your truth is? And all of a sudden, it gets really confused that it's impossible to say anything to anybody without making some kind of a judgment. So the only question is, how do we properly recognize what we're doing and do it in a way that encourages deeper conversation rather than shuts it down?
So in the Bible where Jesus says, don't judge or you'll be judged, where do you take the context of that and the reality of the cliche of you can't judge me?
Well, of course, I just think we have to be careful that we don't cut off the conversation just when it's becoming meaningful. And the way to approach it, I think, is by asking questions. So if somebody says, do you think that people who believe what I believe are going to hell, you know, instead of saying, well, yeah, or saying, oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. Just ask a question like, what is your understanding of what causes a person to be deserving of hell? It's a complete game changer to just ask a question. And then we realize we don't have to put ourselves in the place of God to make judgments. We just point to what God says in the Bible, and then we ask questions to invite relationship and make people think. The alternative, of course, is to make somebody feel ashamed, but that doesn't work anyway. Even if it was a good idea, it doesn't work, right? The old saying is, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So what do you do? Scott, I know you know about our program, but I'm not sure how many others do, but the program is 2-week-long courses of study for 16 to 25-year-olds who are getting ready to go to college. So they are off into the arena, so to speak, and we equip them with questions. For example, if somebody says, well, you know, this is what I think, and our students are trained to ask, tell me more about that. Or if somebody says, well, you know, all Christians are idiots, and, well, you know, how did you get to that conclusion? Those are the sorts of things that you do. It's not that you're not stepping forward to stand for truth. It's that you're inviting the relationship, because only in that context will the truth ever really take root.
We're rethinking a lot of different Christian cliches today at SOS Radio. We're talking with Jeff Myers. He leads Summit Ministries. And Jeff, you wrote a book called Unquestioned Answers. And you dig into a lot of the things that we just own, like bumper sticker theology, that sort of feel like cliche. And a lot of times we just take these and say, like, oh, God won't give you more than you can handle. And everybody thinks that's in the Bible, but it's not. It says you won't be tempted beyond what you can bear. Completely different context. And you see that there may be truth on one, or there may be a heart on the other that sounds like truth, but it's not exactly accurate. It's so interesting how we just get to this place in culture where we don't actually read God's word. We just quote each other.
Right. Yeah. Or sometimes we even quote scripture verses that are not in the context of what they really mean. And then we assume that they mean whatever we want them to mean. And Scott, that's where we start to get into trouble as Christians, isn't it? That ultimately, if we're using these cliches, it's because we're making it about us rather than about God. When I say it's me and Jesus, or God said it, I believe it, and that settles it for me, then I'm assuming that I am the one deciding whether this is true. And that's where we as Christians, you know, need a wake-up call. We need to be able to go a little deeper.
Yeah, one of those cliches that is so interesting, especially right now, is, oh, it's just me and Jesus. And I get where people want to take that as, hey, my faith feels private to me. It's something that's sacred. It's, you know, my personal relationship with God. And they start there and then they leave it there. But that's a starting place, right? Because beyond that, I mean, the season we've been in with churches going virtual is showing us we can't be in isolation and do faith alone.
You're right. We're all looking forward to a time when we can get back together. But if it's just about me learning about the Bible all by myself and having no accountability for whether I apply it, we're not in a very good spot. Here's the way I put it in the book, Unquestioned Answers, is that Jesus is our Savior, but he also offers us a framework for understanding all of reality. So our faith has something to say about, you know, about COVID-19 and about all of the big issues of our time. Oh, well, this is what I personally believe, but doesn't affect anything else. Then we're not really giving the gospel.
This season has shown us how important community actually is, because Jesus didn't just work with a saved person. It starts there, but then what he said was, make disciples. And then he started the church and he poured out the Holy Spirit to activate that at Pentecost. Community is really important for growth.
There's no question about that, Scott. And a friend of mine years ago pointed this out to me, and I don't know why I had never seen it before. But he said, if you look at the New Testament commands to grow spiritually, they're all written in letters to churches. In other words, none of them were personal. It wasn't like you personally can grow spiritually. It's all of the commands to grow spiritually were written to groups of people, that we grow together. So yes, we do need one another. And there, you know, we're finding lots of ways to connect with each other. For some people, there's more communication now. There's some people I've communicated with more in the quarantine than I usually do. And all of that's good. But the point is that we recognize we need each other to grow spiritually. And we need each other to say, hey, look, guys, go a little bit deeper here. You don't have to stay on the surface. Be a fisher of men. You don't fish by skimming the surface. You fish by putting that hook down deep.
Some of us grew up in a religious setting where we were told not really to question God. And as I've grown in my faith, I realize that having a personal relationship with Jesus is a two-way street. I'm Scott on SOS Radio, and sure, we want to have a healthy fear of God, but there's more about the respect and the reverence in the heart of that and the way that we approach him. You know, he's fine with our questions, and he's big enough and mature enough to deal with the big ones. And we're actually talking about that today with Jeff Myers from Summit Ministries. And Jeff, it's interesting. You wrote a book where you really dig into a whole lot of the cliches that we own as partial truths, but you dig deeper because we have to reference all of the things that we hear that sound like bumper sticker Christianity. And there was one that I loved. You have a whole chapter that says, you know, God will heal our land if we humble ourselves and pray. And I've heard so many people through this coronavirus season quoting that. And it is truth that when we humble ourselves and pray, God does something. But the context of when that verse was written doesn't apply to what we're doing now specifically.
Yeah, that's right. That passage in the Old Testament in First Chronicles, we humble ourselves, God will heal our land. That passage was for ancient Israel. For us to take that and apply it would be sort of like saying, well, we should have soft music in our church because David calmed Saul with his harp, or we should, in order to test God's will, we need to get a sheep fleece and lay it out and, you know, see if it's wet on the top or on the bottom. You know, you look at those and say, no, those were specific descriptions of something that happened. They weren't prescriptions. But the good news here is this, Scott. God promises to answer our prayer. In the New Testament, we see that over and over again. We don't need to have a talisman of a prayer that was directed to people from long ago in a very particular cultural context in order for us to somehow, you know, put God's hands behind his back and make him do what we want.
It's interesting, Jeff, because there are some churches that have been teaching over the years falsely that any promise made to Israel is fulfilled by the church and applies directly to the Christian church today, and that is not truth, because you see the nation of Israel that started thousands of years ago and that Jesus was born into that nation and was Jewish heritage-wise and was Jewish and then lived out the customs and walked through the law there, and we look at that as Old Testament and Old Covenant, and a lot of churches say, oh, Jesus fulfills all that, you don't need the Old Testament anymore, and it's fulfilled with the church now. And it's like, no, that's called replacement theology. The church is separate from the nation of Israel and the Hebrew people's promises that God made specifically to them.
It's tough to try to dig into all of that, but here's one area where I think people can agree, even if their theologies are different, that the God who revealed himself to Israel is the same God who reveals himself to us. So while we can't look at that and say, well, if God promised to heal Israel, then he promises to heal America. We'll claim that. We can't really do that. That's not appropriate Bible theology. But if you say, is God the kind of God who heals? Yes. Is God the kind of God who wants us to approach him in prayer? Yes. In other words, you can see that if you're looking at the way at what God reveals about himself, then that is true all through time. If it's trying to take something that was in the Old Testament and then apply it to ourselves today, we have to be super careful about that. So if we stick to God's nature and character rather than trying to, you know, make God do what we want, then we're usually on pretty solid ground.
Yeah, Jeremiah 29:11 is another perfect example of it, because everyone says, oh, you know, God wants what's best for you and God's going to protect you no matter what. And it's like, well, the context of what Jeremiah was writing to was to exiles.
Yeah, that's right. I get that. Listen, I can tell you, I work with tens of thousands of young people in our Summit Ministries programs. And I can tell you that there are so many of them who come in and that's their life verse. And they say, wait a second. So that can't be that wasn't really written to me as a person. And then we say, well, just turn your attention to what God promises about himself. Don't say, well, that's my life verse because it is meaningful to me. Ask, what does this say about God and his nature and character? And then how can I use that to better worship him? All of a sudden, you're moving deeper in your faith, and it's a whole lot more exciting. And Scott, in times like these, when people are asking really big questions, we position ourselves to be those who will dig into the conversation, engage rather than escape, you know, not just try to put a little quick saying on it and get it over with.
You know, during times of crisis and unrest, having faith in God that he's still with us and that he's still in control is paramount. But there's some things about faith that we apply to the Old Testament and the New Testament, customs and things like that, that are a little different than things that we want to apply to our American perspective, right? I'm Scott on SWS Radio. We think about things like capitalism and democracy. But you know what? When most of the things were written in the Old Testament, it was in a kingdom, in an absolute monarchy, or in a Jewish theocracy, even in the New Testament times. And then you have the letters that Paul and Peter were writing, which were going on where they were under the authority of an emperor, and many of those emperors were pretty corrupt. And it's interesting how we just try to apply words from the Bible directly to an American perspective. And you wrote a whole book about this so that we can have discernment and going back to God's word and understanding the real context.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Unquestioned Answers is the name of the book. And it all comes down to, Scott, that our theology, our relationship with God has to be about him, not about us. And if we will start with that, then we can move down beyond the cliches. You know, Scott, I want to tell you, because I know you're in Las Vegas and a lot of people listening are out west, where it's easier to have conversations sometimes, isn't it? I mean, if you go to a large, you know, New York or whatever, people don't want to talk to you. But when you can have open conversations, you can really dig in as Christians if you just learn to ask questions like, hey, tell me more about that. Hey, I'm really curious about your perspective. How did you get to that? Or how do you know that's true? Or what do you mean by that? Sometimes simple questions can cause people who might not ordinarily talk about spiritual things to really enjoy the conversation, and you can leave them deep in thought.
One of the statements that you talk a lot about in your book on Question Answers is just have faith. You know, Jeff, how is the concept of faith misunderstood by both Christians and non-Christians?
When people say just have faith, they're usually saying, hey, hang in there, you're going to make it. But the idea of faith in the Bible isn't something that you have. It's something that you live. It's something that you act on. I'm not saying that, you know, our works save us, but absolutely, when you read scripture, you realize that faith works, that phrase, have faith, is extremely rare, and it's only a translation issue in scripture, that it's, faith is always something that you live, not something that you have. And the reason that's important, Scott, is, you know, I think there are a lot of people who, or they remember what Mark Twain said about faith, that faith is believing what you know ain't so. So they think, well, if faith for me is if I have strong feelings about something, then what is untrue can become true. But that's not how the Bible describes faith. Faith in the Bible is not belief. It's not the strength of your belief. It's the truth of what you're believing in. And so that's why at Summit Ministries, we spend so much time with our students, helping them understand the amazing truth of the Bible, the evidence for God's existence, answering their questions, because we want them to realize that God is big and he's the basis of our faith, not whether or not at any given moment in time we feel good about it.
Yeah, so what counts most isn't the bigness of your belief, but the bigness of the God who's there.
If my belief is based on how strongly I feel about it, then what do I do in those moments where I don't feel strong? There are times where I'm singing a worship song in church and I really am resonating with it, but there are other times where I don't. So how do I distinguish between those two things? If I realize, you know, God, this faith is about you. This is about your word, that it's not about how strongly I believe it at this moment. Then it gives you that sense of assurance. Hey, God, you're still here, even when I don't feel your presence. And I know that that's true because your word says that. I love the man who approached Jesus in the Bible, and Jesus said, do you have faith or do you believe? And the man said, I do believe, but help my unbelief.
Yes.
That's so honest. That's so incredible. I can imagine if your friends are asking you right now, how can a good God allow things like COVID-19? You know, move into that conversation and say, help me understand what you're asking and tell me what your struggles are and what your frustrations are. And then, you know, let's take it some time to look at what the Bible says about who God is and what his plans are for us. and use it as an opportunity to invite relationship rather than just to try to get the conversation over with. Scott, where did we come up with this idea that you have to open and close the deal every time you have a conversation as a Christian?
I know, because Jesus describes it like farming, doesn't he? Where it's like, sometimes you scatter the seed, sometimes you water the seed and you cultivate the soil, and then sometimes you actually get to be there when the harvest is. But sometimes the people doing the harvest aren't the ones that are planting and watering it.
That's right. More and more people are growing gardens these days, so I think that analogy may be helpful, but there's very little about faith that's like going through a fast food drive-thru. You have to, you know, you invite the relationship. The picture that I get in my mind and that I have our students learn here at Summit Ministries is a DNA double helix. There are two strands, truth and relationship. They have to intertwine together and connect together. That's when really good things happen. And by the way, that's when people realize, oh, so you're not trying to indoctrinate me. You really care about me as a person. And all of a sudden, opportunities open up for people to really consider the truth of Christ.
We're talking to Jeff Myers today, and he's the president of Summit Ministries, where they work with thousands of Christians each year to help them understand how faith impacts everyday life and have an amazing program for students in high school and early in college that are really trying to wrap their heart and their head around worldview when they're going to college. And summit.org has more info on that, but Jeff has a brand new book called Unquestioned Answers. Thanks for chatting with us today, Jeff.
Scott, thank you for the time. I just love your program out there. I love your station. I love the reach that you have all throughout the West. And please, let's stay in touch at Summit Ministries and let's train a rising generation to embrace God's truth and to champion a biblical worldview.
Thanks for streaming Scott Harrell's podcast from SOS Radio.
If you're one of our regular listeners,
would you consider giving it a 5-star rating?
It really helps spread the word.